Good morning and welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punch Bowl News. It is Wednesday, December 7th, 2022. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, what Georgia means to the Senate. Number two, your daily NDAA and funding update. And number three, what is Steve Scalise up to? Top story of the day is obvious. Raphael Warnock beat Herschel Walker by roughly 3 points in Georgia, a stunning, stunning sweep for Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senate Democrats. This is an amazing statistic. Every Senate Democratic incumbent won re-election. Every single one. This is the first time that's happened in 90 years. It gives Schumer a 51-seat majority, full control of all the committees, and the ability to minimize, or basically at least temporarily or periodically, ignore Joe Manchin. This is going to make Democrats very, very happy. Schumer's holding a press conference at 10 a.m. to celebrate Warnock's victory. And let's just be clear here. This wraps up a nothing short of disastrous cycle for Senate Republicans and Donald Trump. Despite a very favorable political landscape, the Senate Republicans were unable to flip any Democratic held seats. They squandered chances in Arizona, Pennsylvania, but that was a Republican seat, Georgia, and New Hampshire. And Donald Trump's candidates were at least fueled or endorsed by Donald Trump, were behind all those losses, every single one. Also not a great cycle for Rick Scott at the NRSC. He predicted a GOP majority, 52 seats, I think he said, at least 52 seats. That was a fantasy. The NRSC had a not a great fundraising cycle, and Rick Scott clashed with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell constantly during the cycle and then failed at challenging him for Republican leader. I mean, what does Rick Scott do here? Who knows? I mean, I think his upside in the Republican leadership is relatively limited. He sees himself as a potential presidential candidate, but he's polling in the low single digits. I don't think he has much of a chance there. He'll win in Florida, but it's just a stunningly bad cycle for Senate Republicans overall. And this gets into, we could kind of put this back toward the House of Representatives, where House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has been making the point time and time again, that House Republicans are the only ones that have done anything, that have won anything, that have been successful, that were successful in 2022. So now the Republican House, which is in the middle of a massive leadership fight, is the only bulwark against the Biden agenda. Let's see if they can get their act together and elect a speaker in normal course of time. It does not look promising. We'll get to that again in a minute. Number two story of the day, the NDAA is out and government funding is still nowhere. So in a big win for McCarthy, quite frankly, the National Defense Authorization was released Tuesday night, and it includes a repeal of the mandate that members of the military get a COVID-19 vaccine. McCarthy had helped secure the inclusion of the nixing of the vaccine, which was obviously put into place during COVID. This NDAA does not have a ton of wins for Democrats, and that's a big win for Republicans. This calls for a $45 billion increase in defense spending over Joe Biden's budget request. This is the same level that was approved by the Senate Armed Services Committee. The House will debate this bill this week, try to get it across the finish line. Left on the cutting room floor here are several incredibly important provisions to both parties. The Safe Banking Act, which allowed banks to handle cannabis-related businesses, Joe Manchin's permitting reform, and a proposal that would allow news organizations to band together to negotiate with tech platforms for revenue. So the NDAA, which is only one part of the year-end rush, is heading toward the floor. With 9 days until the funding deadline, you'd be right to ask where the hell government funding is, and it's absolutely nowhere. They're going to have to, I would have to imagine, we'll hear in the next day or two that they're going to have to pass a short-term measure. We are 9 days from the government running out of money. They do not even have a top line for an omnibus. We are looking at a real possibility of a year-long CR, or maybe even shorter. Appropriators are still tens of billions of dollars apart on the top line for the omnibus, and it is just not looking good. Number three story of the day, as McCarthy struggles, what is Scalise up to? We have three interesting data points for you this morning, vis-a-vis Steve Scalise and Kevin McCarthy. Let's start with our friend Manu Raju. Just to set the stage here, Steve Scalise has said he is supportive of Kevin McCarthy's bid for speaker. He told me yesterday he thinks McCarthy's going to get there. But listen to what he's saying. Manu asked him if... asked Scalise if he would emerge as a candidate if McCarthy can't get 218, and he said he would not get into speculation. He said, quote, obviously our focus is on getting it resolved by January 3rd. There's a lot of conversations that everyone's been having. Okay, number two. I asked Scalise yesterday if it was inevitable that McCarthy will become speaker, and here's what he told me. Well, everyone knows he's been having a lot of conversations with the members. He's not just sitting around doing nothing. Obviously, a lot of discussion about the rules, two different meetings on the rules, you know, and there's still a continued ongoing dialogue with all the members. McCarthy's trying to present himself as being inevitable. Scalise, you know, doesn't seem to agree with that. Number three, I asked Scalise about the motion to vacate. Now, remember, the motion to vacate is a motion that is meant to, that it gives the House the ability for a snap kind of vote on the future of the speaker. It's a non-confidence vote, basically. I asked him if he thinks that the motion to vacate should be reinstated to where it was before. Now, Republicans and Democrats have both peeled it back, so it's very limited in its use, meaning it can only be brought up by a party leader at behest of the party as a whole. Some people, conservatives, want it back to where it was before, which is any member could bring it up at any time. So I ask Scalise whether, and McCarthy's against that, by the way. McCarthy wants it to be at the behest of the party by party leaders. Scalise did not back McCarthy up on that. He said it's all part of the conversation. He said there's a lot of give and take in the rules, and this is all part of an ongoing negotiation. So, you know, it's tough to listen. Scalise and McCarthy have a very interesting history. Scalise considered running against him in 2018, as we reported, Anna and I reported in our book, The Hill to Die On, which came out eons ago. This is going to raise eyebrows in the leadership, and I just think it's interesting. We'll have to see how Scalise plays it, whether McCarthy gets there or not. There's going to be a lot of eyes on Scalise trying to see what he does in the coming days and weeks. And with that, leave us a rating and review. You could subscribe to Punchbowl News at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.